Bill, what's happening? How are you?
Good, Glenn. Steve, Michael, how are you guys doing?
Great. You've taken a look, obviously, at the video. You got yourself a win yesterday. Is it another one of those where good things? Yeah, and a lot of other things you still have to work on.
Well, like a lot of games in the NFL, it comes down to one possession, one play, last seconds, last minute, and this one did again. Unfortunately, we were able to make enough plays to come out on top. But that's competitively tough to win, but we'll take it and try to improve on it. It wasn't our best game, but it's good to be 3-0 in the division.
Have you seen improvement? You know, you talk every week about what we need to do is get better every single week so that we have a good record and we're there when we need to be in the playoffs. Are you seeing improvement with this team, especially, again, with the secondary? Because you look at the yardage given up yesterday.
Well, there were no deep balls yesterday, so that was one good thing. But, yeah, no, it's, you know, a lot of the yardage came on as a result of our lack of getting off the field on third down, which that led to more opportunities, more yardage, like it usually does. Same thing that happened to Buffalo. You know, we converted on third down on them, keep the drives going. More yards pile up, more points pile up. So, red area, third down, that's all interrelated.
You mentioned the yards. You look at the two games with Buffalo this year. They have gaudy statistics, but the bottom line is they have two losses. You got what you wanted in both games. Do you think there's something that they're doing, or a better way of asking is, what is it about what they're doing that causes problems for you?
Well, they're a tough team to match up against. They have good, very good skill players, tight ends, receivers, backs. It's a tough group. They get get three or four of them on the field at one time. It's a hard matchup.
And when you look at yesterday, I asked Vince this question: 35 first downs for them. You won the game. Do you care about that number? Does that number keep you up at night? Does it drive you crazy and say, God, I can't believe we gave up 35 first downs? Or do you say, well, it's the price of doing business. We won the game.
Well, you try to improve every week. And so whatever we can do to improve, we'll try to improve. Certainly we'd like to improve on that. Points, yards, same thing on offense. You know, we missed opportunities on offense, missed opportunities in the kicking game. Missed opportunities on defense. Some of it's execution, penalties, fundamental execution. We got to do a better job of it.
It looked like there were more missed tackles than a normal game. Did that show up in the film too? And were there a tremendous amount of yards after the catch or after the first hit?
Yes. Yeah, I would say that yesterday wasn't a great tackling day for us. But at the same time, I think you do have to give credit to their runners, their skill players. They got a couple guys that are tough to tackle, but that's still, that doesn't let us off the hook either. We've got to do a better job of, we got to coach it better. We got to emphasize it more. We got to do a better job with it on the field. There's no question. We got to tackle better. That's what defense is about, is getting the guy with the ball on the ground. And we're going to face other tough guys to tackle too, but those guys they have are pretty good. We've had problems with them, and so is the rest of the league.
One tackle cost your team 15 yards yesterday, and Ryan Fitzpatrick after the game said, Brandon Spikes is an emotional player, but at times he's a punk. What did you think of that penalty on roughing the passer on Brandon Spikes in the game yesterday?
Well, it doesn't really matter what I think about it. It's what the referee thinks about it, and he thought it was a penalty, so it was a penalty.
Would you teach him to do it in another way? If you look back at it, I'm sure you've seen it again. Would you say to Spike, "Hey, you can't"? I mean, what would you say to him? Because if you look at the replay, slow it down. At worst, it's debatable. It's questionable. I didn't think it was obvious at all or apparent. Oh, clearly he hit him in the helmet, or it was a cheap hit. Would you say to Spike, "Do something different"?
Well, it's a bang bang play. I think what you tell the players, what we tell the players is that we can't hit the quarterback above the shoulders or below the knees. It's as simple as that. So they can hit the quarterback, but they can't hit him above the shoulders. They can't hit him below the knees, and they can't lead with a crown and a helmet. So you ask what we tell them. That's what we tell them.
How do you ask your players to maintain the aggressive attitude that you want and still be able to stop those type of penalties? You want them aggressive, obviously, but Is it a fine line between?
Yeah, sure, it's a fine line. Yeah, of course it is. It's a very fine line. I mean, you've played. You know how it is. It's mm-hmm. and they're bang bang plays. I mean, it's not like you got 4 or 5 minutes to figure out. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. You turn the guys there. You hit them. We try to coach it, and the players I think have done a good job of trying to play within the rules, and that's what the rules are. We can't, like I said, can't lead with the crown of our helmet. Can't hit them above the shoulders. Can't hit them below the knees. So. We try to hit them, but not in those areas or with that technique. And we coach that, we drill it. But football is a fast game; it's a contact sport, and sometimes you have a split second to do it. And even if you don't intend to do it, sometimes it ends up happening. So we'll continue to coach it that way, and I know our players will continue to try to do the right thing and play within the rules. But I mean, inevitably, I'm sure there'll be penalties in the game.
Steve, there were no penalties then, were there? You could actually touch a quarterback when you played the game.
I never got close enough to the quarterback anyway.
I want to ask you about your final series, which allowed Buffalo to get the ball back, and obviously the interception closed out the game. But you got the ball. It looked like it was about Ridley was stopped, a yard and a half away or something like that. You got first and goal. And yeah, it was a hurry-up offense in that first play. Were you thinking that you were going to catch them off guard, thinking that you're going to try to waste out the clock right now and take as much time as possible and kill the two-minute warning?
Well, we scored on a similar play earlier, and we just didn't obviously do a good job on the play. We didn't gain any yards, and we were trying to run our offense and do what we've been doing that was successful, and it didn't work, and we. I mean, the bottom line was the situation didn't work out the way we wanted to, that's for sure.
Yeah, it was a tough series because not only did you only get the three and gave them an opportunity to come back from one score, actually they had an opportunity to win, but in that situation you didn't use up much time on the clock either. So.
Yeah, no. Yeah, obviously we didn't. I mean, we were playing aggressively. We were playing to win. We were playing to score. So we weren't trying to kneel on the ball and milk the clock. We were trying to score and you know, we have a good offense. We've been successful. We were successful in the right area, I want to say, every time we were down there.
Yeah.
And, you know, we ran the plays that we felt like were our best plays, and we were trying to get the ball in the end zone. We felt like making it a two-score game would have, I don't want to say it would have sealed it, but it certainly would have made it a lot tougher for Buffalo than, obviously, a one-score game. But we weren't able to do it. But we were trying to be aggressive, and we were trying to win. So if that's wrong, then it's wrong.
Part of your good offense was your receivers doing a good job. I've heard you say it many times, the job of a receiver is to get open and catch the ball. But I saw some blocks yesterday from your receivers, one of them, a really good one, from Deion Branch. I think it led to a first down or a touchdown. What do you say to your – if that's the job of the receivers to get open and catch, what do you say to receivers when it comes to blocking? I mean, do you have a – is it occupy your guy? Is it knock your guys? I mean, some guys do it better than others. What's your approach when you tell those guys, when you talk to those guys about blocking?
Well, it depends on the type of block that they're involved in. If they're trying to, if we're trying to run outside of them, then they have to crack the defender and block them from the outside in. If we're trying to run inside of them, then we try to what we call stalk the defender or block them from the inside out. Basically try to stay in front of them, mirror them, and make him, pick one side or the other, and then the running back can take the other side, whichever side he's not on. The most important thing is to be able to get a hat on a hat, is to be able to get the guys that you want blocked, because as the secondary rotates differently in different coverages, quarters coverages, 2-deep, 3-deep, man coverages, there's a lot of different looks back there. Which guy is the most dangerous guy? Which guy do the receivers have? Which guy is handled in the blocking scheme between the tight end, the offensive line, and maybe two tight ends or fullback or whoever the extra guy is in there? So knowing who's who, when you play three receiver sets and there is no extra guy, there's just the five offensive linemen and the tight end, those are your six blockers, then depending on where that seventh guy comes from, the safety or the nickel back or whoever it is, then having all that coordinated with the receivers on who to block and whether you got to go in there and get them or whether you kind of block the man over you, there's a lot of moving parts and adjustments and judgment that those guys have to make. So it's a big part of their assignments in the running game is, like I said, sorting it out and getting the right guys and then actually blocking them.
Gronkowski had a couple of big ones yesterday, too, that led to some pretty productive runs in the blocking game. Who's the best receiver that you've coached in your career, best receiver at blocking?
Keyshawn was pretty good. Keyshawn was pretty good. He was big, you know, 6'2", 6'3". So he was able to cover guys up with his long arms. And
enjoy doing it, too?
He did. Yeah, he did. Yeah. You know, defenders are hitting the receivers all the time after they catch a ball or, you know, coming in there and hitting them when they come inside and that kind of thing. So it's a chance for a receiver to come back and, yeah, and then hit them, get them on the other, going the other way. So, but, you know, we've had, you know, I mean, it's not about always knocking the guy down. And sometimes it's just tying him up. And Wes does a good job. I mean, really, he's a good blocker because he's quick. He's aggressive, and he can usually get in front of the guy with his speed and as quick as he can get between the runner and the guy that he's supposed to block. And then, you know, that gives the runner to an opportunity to cut off that block rather than just having an unblocked guy there. And he can use Wes's screen or his body to help gain extra yards in the run. But Wes does a good job. I mean, he does a real good job. A lot of times he gives up some size, but he's very competitive, and he can tie those guys up.
Cabe Talib, you're going to have him in this week, I take it, correct?
He's here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Couple of the players who have played for you in the past have talked about your defensive scheme and being fairly complicated. If that is the case, and they're true, and Diassi earlier talked about kind of a language barrier that you're asked to do a lot of the same things you're asked to do at another team, but it's a different language. You got to pick up the language aspect of it. How can you incorporate him quickly, or do you have to simplify his role to find a way to use him? Obviously, you've brought him in because you think he can help your defensive secondary. How do you use him the quickest?
Well, I think when you bring a player in during the season, that you do a couple things. I mean, first of all, you try to get a base of terminology for him. It's not the same as training camp where you kind of put in everything that you're going to be doing all year. I think at this point you're a little more selective with the base that you try to build, and then once you have a base, then you get to the game plan and you work specifically on the game plan for the Colts. And there may be some things that certainly there are things in our defense that won't be part of the game plan against the Colts. So rather than wasting a lot of time coaching those and getting an understanding of those, that we focus more on the things that are going to be applicable this week. And then next week is next week, and some things will carry over, and there'll be some new things. But you hope over a period of time that you're able to catch the player up with in terms of overall terminology, but most importantly, specifics for that particular game. You know, maybe you have two or three different ways to play a certain thing, but this is how we're going to play it this week. So that's the one that you concentrate on. And I think that's you know, it's a little easier to do on offense because you know the plays that you're going to call. You know, I mean, here's the plays we're going to call. We're not going to call anything else. So defensively, you don't know exactly. We know the defenses we're going to call, but we don't know exactly where they're going to line up and how they're going to position their players. And they could certainly come up with something new that we haven't seen before and that we'd have to adjust to. So there's some moving parts on defense that are challenging to get a new player ready, but that's, again, he's an experienced player. He's played a lot of football, so we'll see how it goes. You know, we'll see how it goes. In the short run, we'll work on our general communication and foundation, and as we get more into the game plan, then we'll work on the Colts, and we'll see how it goes.
How much do you anticipate him playing, or is that yet to be decided?
Yeah, I don't have any idea. He's in practice yet for us, so mm-hmm. we'll see how it goes.
It's time now for the Coach's Question of the Week, brought to you by your local Mercedes-Benz dealers and their complete lineup of 2013 models on the web at mbusa.com. This is very convoluted. I'm going to have to edit this down here. Pat in Rhode Island basically says, watch the San Francisco Rams game yesterday. It ended in a tie, and he was looking at your career record and saw that you've never had a tie in your career. But if you had, how would you feel about it? Is it like a waste of time preparing for a team an entire week and then walking away with no win and no loss, just back to square one?
Yeah, actually, I think I was involved in a tie game in 1983 with the Giants against the Rams, like 24-24 or something like that. So we were 3-12-1 that year. But anyway, not to dispute Pat there in Rhode Island. That's
right. Hey, he's looking at your head coaching career, I guess. 312
and
one.
Head coaching career, yeah, no. But, well, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you play for 75 minutes and you don't have a winner, then you don't have a winner.
There you go, Pat. Hey, that's how it is.
Long odds, but it happens. It happens.
Yeah. Now three.
That was a strange game.
Yeah, it was.
Boy, that was a strange game.
312-1. That was Parcells' first year.
I think. That was his first year. That's right.
So, and Ben tells me that game was against the Cardinals. Roy Green must have done something great. O.J. Anderson, one of those guys. But do you look at it and say, "Well, it's almost like we lost 13 games"? I mean, is it tie? Does it feel like a?
Well, I mean, I think it depends on the game. I mean, what about the Harvard Yale game with the coming off the press there? Harvard wins 28-28, 29-29, whatever
right.
it was. Harvard wins 28-28. Well, you're down by 16 points with a minute and a half to go in the game, and you tie it. I mean, you feel like you win. I think if you're ahead by 16 points with a minute and a half to go in the game and you tie it, you
feel like
you lost. So it depends on the game.
Plus, if you're looking at a 12-loss season, I'm not sure that one tie is really
Right.
You're like, hey, listen, could have been worse.
Would you keep going? Would you keep going? Do you think there should be in pro football? I mean, can you just in the regular season, is it just counterproductive to say, all right, I think
you probably got to take a look at it, at some point. I mean, that's a lot of football. Like at some point, maybe you just got to take a look at it and say, okay, it's a tie. I mean, these two teams are even. But I've always liked playing that type of game where you have another period in regulation, and I like the concept of playing till the end of that period, whether it's 15 minutes, 10 minutes, 8 minutes, whatever you want to make it, but where you have the end of the game strategy and timeouts and. Like you have in basketball. You play the end of the game the way you play the end of the game. You don't play the first team to score or first team to get 8 points or 10 points in basketball. You play that period out, and I think there's something to be said for that.
Hey, before we let you go, I got to ask you about Andrew Luck. And Michael and I were talking about this earlier. In the old days, people were always complimentary of you against young quarterbacks because they thought you set them up an awful lot. Showing him one thing in the first quarter and giving him something totally different in the third quarter and messed him up. Has the game changed? Are we looking at a player? Because I look at this kid, and he doesn't make an awful lot of mistakes. He can run. He can throw the ball under pressure. Nothing seems to rattle him. Is this a unique young player we're looking at in Andrew Luck?
Well, he's been impressive. Certainly, he's an outstanding athlete. He can run, and he's got real good speed to get out of trouble and buy time in the pocket. He made a lot of yards and converted third downs and scrambled for 10, 15, 20. He's got 20, 20-yard gains, those kind of things. So he's a big, strong kid. He's hard to tackle. He's got a good arm. And I think he sees the field well. He's got good vision, good poise, and makes good decisions. So I've certainly been impressed watching him, and I'm sure we're halfway through the season now. I don't know if any rookie's a rookie at this point. We've played 9 games, 4 preseason games. So, we're pretty far down the road now. So maybe it's their first year, but these guys have started to play, over our college season. So I think they're getting to the point where rookies really aren't rookies anymore. They have enough experience under the belt where they should be able to go out there and play at a competitive level with everybody else. They've seen a lot already.
I know he's a guy that has only had 9 games. Does he remind you of anybody at that stage of his career? Any guys jump out at you that seem to grasp it that quickly?
I don't know. Well, I'll take a little. I have to take a little closer look at him over the week here. I've watched him. We've seen all the games, but I mean to really break it down. But I mean I don't think there's a lot of difference between him physically and a guy like Cam Newton as far as just being able to run and. Be strong and fast and have a good arm and all that. But he seems to read coverage as well. He's got a great receiver, obviously, in Reggie Wayne. I don't think there's many better than him.
They've clicked too, haven't they? They really seem to have found
it. Yeah, and they've asked Reggie. He used to always line up over there on the right side. And now he's all over the place in motion and in the slot. And he's hard to find. So they really move around, but... Colts have, you know, they've done a great job. They've turned that program around. They really have. I mean, they've took a team last year that really struggled to be competitive in a lot of games, and they, you know, turned them into a good football team and added a lot of players. They're a lot different looking team on defense, and you know, they're good on offense, and I mean, they're just a good football team. So I think you got to give a lot of credit to that organization. I mean, it's not just luck. I mean, he's good, but there's a lot of people contributed to that, and they've turned it around. They've really turned that program around in a short amount of time.